Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Free Agency Preview Mega Edition of Head of the Pack. I'm Matt Schneidman here with Bill Huber. It's great to talk to you guys again. We're going to get into everything today, from what we think is going to happen with the Packers' own free agents, who they might target, who they might restructure or extend to get under the cap, how they're going to get under the cap. We're going to cover it all and answer your questions. Can't be more thankful that the NFL calendar is starting up again. I don't know about you, Bill. I probably don't speak for you, but you know,
no, you speak for me.
Is it nice maybe to get a little bit back into the rhythm of the NFL?
The NFL is the smartest sport. You know, like baseball free agency, like takes in the draft, it takes place at the oddest times. The NFL calendar is nonstop, and bless their souls, because I'm as good of making up crap as anybody on earth as far as writing stuff, but man, free agency, the salary cap, the bind that they're in COVID wise, it's been a fascinating offseason. People are loving it, and it's fun to write about it too.
Now, there's a lot. The Packers are always in the news. They're always relevant, but they will be relatively so this year. You know, they've got, let's start with their own unrestricted free agents, and at the top of the list is a first team all pro center and a Pro Bowl running back. So I'll ask you and let you have the floor first, and then I'll give my take. What do you think the Packers should do with Corey Linsley, and what do you think will ultimately happen?
I think the Packers will make the right choice, and they will let Corey Linsley go. Corey Linsley is a great player. He's a great player. B, he's a great leader. I mean, he's everything you'd ever want. That being said, he's nearing 30. That's not a great age. He missed three full games.
I'm nearing 32.
He missed three full games. He missed most of two others. So you wonder, is that just a blip on the radar, the injury stuff, or is that a real, real concern? The Packers don't have much of a history extending 30-ish-year-old linemen. They'll miss him. You know, Lucas Patrick will play center or whatever the hell they're going to do. They're going to miss him, but you know, if he's going to get 5 years and $55 million or $4 and $50, whatever it's going to be, that's a lot of money for a guy who's kind of missed a lot of playing time last year, you know?
Yeah, I can see the injury concerns. I think they should let him walk, and I think they will let him walk. Now, listen, me saying I think they should let him walk is not me saying, oh, he's not going to be able to stay healthy or he's not a good player. You know, you can make the argument that Corey Linsley is the best center on planet Earth right now. And, you know, you wouldn't get much blowback from anyone who paid attention to the league last year, at least. He will probably cost between $11 and $13 million per year. You can't replace him, but just like at running back, I think the Packers can tread water or fill his vacancy at least respectably so the absence of Corey Linsley and potential absence of Aaron Jones isn't too much. Now, do they put Lucas Patrick there and slide in John Runyon Jr. to right guard? Do they put Elgton Jenkins at center and, you know, move Lucas Patrick to left guard? They have a couple options, but I think Aaron Rodgers has built enough trust with Patrick and Jenkins that he'd be comfortable with whoever is snapping the ball to him in the instance that Linsley isn't there. What would you do if you were the Packers at the center position, assuming Linsley leaves?
I know I would not move Jenkins there. Because if Jenkins is going to be your man on the move, I really would hate to move my center. Center is such an important position, and you know, things can go wrong at center. I want my center being the center, so I would say stick Lucas Patrick there and let John Runyon play guard. Maybe a St. Lane Taylor if he's cheap enough, and they can duke it out at that guard spot, whatever it is. I probably would not stick Elton Jenkins. Well, Jenkins would be phenomenal at it, but I would not use him there just because I might need him to play right tackle. I might need him to play left tackle in week one with Bakhtiari's knee. How about you?
Right. Yeah, I agree. I would put Patrick there. If Bakhtiari's ready for week one, I still think you put Jenkins at left guard. Like I said, I believe on the last podcast, just to, you know, help ease Bakhtiari back in, put Elton Jenkins over there for a little extra cushion. If Bakhtiari's not ready, you know, you could put Elton Jenkins at left tackle, Billy Turner at right tackle, Lucas Patrick at center, and then, you know, I wouldn't put a draft pick at left guard or right guard, but you could put Lane Taylor there. You could put John Runyon Jr. there. Who knows? They might start Jake Hansen at center, although I wouldn't do that. I would stick with Patrick there.
You know, it's funny. I'm glad you mentioned Hansen. I know I've had on Twitter a few times, too. He was not impressive last summer, right? Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to be a good player. I just didn't think he was anywhere close to playing last summer.
Right, yeah. I thought it was a little surprising he didn't make the initial 53-man because we all thought, oh, here's the next center once Lindsley leaves. But nope, that wasn't the case. And yet, granted, I'm not an expert on young offensive linemen and how they look in non-live action in practice. But I certainly expected to, yes, I guess the one thing we had to gauge his performance off of was the one-on-ones. And, you know, from what I can remember, he wasn't great in those. That was a long time ago. But, you know, the fact that he didn't even make the 53 and then we didn't really get to see much of him because he was on IR late in the season on the practice squad, it's tough to throw him in there at center. So I would say Patrick is my guess there. Aaron Jones. Interesting. I know there's stuff going around on Twitter from Schefter and other people saying the Packers are still going to try to re-sign him. If they haven't been able to get a deal done yet, I don't see why they would be able to anytime soon. And he's going to likely come off the market relatively shortly after free agency starts because he is one of the most prominent free agents out there. I just don't see the Packers giving him $12 to $15 million a year, assuming that's what it is. And the more likely scenario I see is them re-signing Jamal Williams for a couple million dollars a year and rolling with him and A.J. Dillon and using that $8, $9, $10 million they save by keeping Jamal Williams instead of Aaron Jones on another position that's of more pressing need.
Yeah. I you're right. I mean, they've had a year to re-sign the guy. You know, the only way it works in her favor is if we're 2 days into this thing. You know, once the real signing period starts, and there's just not much out there for him, and I don't think that's gonna be the case. You know, then maybe the Packers come back into play. But yeah, it's hard to look. COVID's gonna hurt people. I don't think it's gonna hurt the star guys. I think the star football players are gonna get paid star player money, and everybody else is gonna get the shaft. Like the Jamal Williams of the world are gonna get the short end of the stick. I would not either way though. I'm not signing Aaron Jones. He is a hell of a football player, and they are a worse team without him. That being said, he is 26 years old. He'll be 27 at the end of the next year. Everybody listening to this podcast knows what happens to running backs who get paid. Eventually, they go down the crapper because it is a hard-as-hell position to play. Do you want Aaron Jones to count? Well, I mean, look, nobody thought Todd Gurley was going to go down the toilet, right, with the Rams?
Right.
When he signed that gigantic contract? 2 years later, he's gone. So just because you think Aaron Jones, well, that's not going to happen to Aaron Jones. Well, maybe not, but history says it's probably going to. So I would never, ever, ever have a gigantic running back paycheck on my salary cap at age 29, 30, and that's going to be the case for Jones. So again, they are not a better team without him. But I think you just got to let the guy go, and I think you're exactly right, Matt. A.J. Dillon, Jamal Williams, find a draft pick and go from there.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at the last three teams to win the Super Bowl, the Buccaneers, they had Fournette and Jones on small deals. They had 2 years ago, the Chiefs had Damian Williams on a small deal. Then the year before that, the Patriots had James White and Sony Michel on small deals. So just like with the wide receiver position, granted, the Buccaneers and Chiefs the last 2 years have kind of debunked that. So I guess more so for the running back position. You know, expensive running backs don't correlate to Super Bowls. Now, Derrick Henry and Alvin Kamara and Dalvin Cook and Christian McCaffrey could buck that trend. We're not saying that you pay a running back, they immediately go down the shitter. That's not what we're saying. But more often than not, you're better advised to spend elsewhere. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah. I mean, Christian McCaffrey didn't hardly play last year. Joe Mixon hardly played. You know, you got the Todd Gurley's, the Le'Veon Bell's. David Johnson from the Cardinals a couple years ago broke the bank. And, you know, what has David Johnson done since then? It's a bad event. It is such a hard, brutal position. And I realize that Aaron Jones hasn't gotten the crap beaten out of him. He's also not the world's biggest guy either. I would steer clear of Jones. And look, Gutekunst spent a second-round pick on Dylan last year. It's probably a reason for it.
That's true. I think we all saw this coming when they made that pick. Look, Aaron Jones was a great player for this team the last 2 years, but sometimes you got to move on, and this is a business. Let's move on to...
Hey, hang on. Before we move on, Matt, would you have franchised him over $8 million?
Yeah.
It's 1 year.
Probably.
$8 million. Are you franchising him?
Yeah, but then you risk that money counting against the cap and him not showing up, and are you able to find a trade partner? Probably. I mean, I just think, yes, I would have. Because ultimately, you know, even if you have to trade him, then another team, you know, takes on that cap number. But I think this is just me spitballing. This is not anything I've been told. I think if he signed the franchise tag, Drew Rosenhaus would have said, you're not playing a single snap until you have a long-term contract. I don't care if it's with the Green Bay Packers or another team.
Right.
That's just
I just wonder, though, could you have traded him for... Look, they're going to get a... Assuming he doesn't get a gigantic contract, they're going to get a fourth-round compensatory pick for him in 2022. Couldn't you have gotten a third for him in 2021? I don't know. I'm not a fortune teller, but that's why I would have franchised him, because I just wonder if you could have gotten a better draft pick than you're going to get as a comp pick here in 12 months.
Yeah, I can see that, but... They're still the only team to not use a franchise tag in the last 10 years, and I don't know the next time they will. They certainly couldn't have on Lindsley, because that would have cost more than it would have to extend him, because, you know, it's offensive tackles as a whole, not just centers when determining the franchise tag. So let's talk about the rest of the Packers free agents. There are a couple interesting ones, and we'll go through them fairly briefly, fairly quickly, just with our predictions on who we think will be back and who won't. So we talked about Lindsley, we talked about Jones. Let's go to Jamal Williams. My hunch says he is back. I think it would be a little risky to hand the reins over to A.J. Dillon entirely, even if they sign a guy like James White or someone like that in free agency. You have one guy who's used to the system, and he's had one good game in his entire career. I think it's too risky to roll into next season with just A.J. Dillon and even an external guy or a rookie. I would re-sign Jamal Williams for cheap.
Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer almost. I mean, assuming someone doesn't give him 2 years and $10 million or something. You know, beyond Dillon, I mean, who are the running? I mean, Dexter Williams?
Mike Weber.
Patrick Taylor?
Tyler
Mike
Irvin.
Mike Weber. That is the running back depth chart at present. I have no idea if any of those guys are any good. So they better cross their fingers that nobody wants Jamal Williams, because you know what? He had some good games for the Packers, obviously, this year, but would you spend a lot of money on him? Because I mean, to me, you spend money on guys who really move the needle for you, who are game breakers, so to speak. I don't know that Jamal Williams is a game breaker. He's a really good player in every facet. I just don't know that he does a lot that say, ooh, we got to have Jamal Williams. So I think maybe his value might be more here than elsewhere.
Yeah, I think he's a solid back, and he can pass protect. Yeah. He can catch passes. He's not as elusive as Aaron Jones, but he can still run downhill and make guys miss. I mean, in both games Aaron Jones missed last year with that calf injury in the middle of the season, Jamal totaled over 100 yards of total offense in both games. So he's really valuable. Everyone loves him. So I don't see why you don't bring him back for cheap.
Same here. All right. What else you got?
Mercedes Lewis.
Please.
I think you got to bring him back.
Got to bring him back.
Got to bring him back.
Yep. He's not going to cost you. He's not going to cost you any money. He's everything you could ever want as a teammate. And God bless him as reporters too. We will take Mercedes Lewis every week.
Yes.
And that's what matters.
We will. He's beloved in the locker room. Really good blocking tight end. Can catch a pass here and there. Probably can't make a guy miss anymore, but it's more so the intangibles. And I think Aaron Rodgers, if I remember correctly, called him the best blocking tight end of his generation a little while back. So you got to bring him back because it'll be really cheap. And he said, I believe it was to TMZ at LAX when they caught him there, that he wants to be back. So I don't see why you don't bring him back. Next, Lane Taylor. It's tough because he's, you know, already into his early 30s. He had a biceps tear that made him miss the large majority of the 2019 season, tore his ACL in the first game of the 2020 season. But the Packers need depth on that interior offensive line, and they know what he's capable of. So if another team is scared of signing him because of his recent injury history, the only team for which he's ever played that knows him better than anyone is the Packers. So if they can get him for cheap and they're confident he can step in for them in a pinch or maybe even start the season. You know, let's say they throw, you know, Lane at left guard and John Runyon Jr. at right guard with Elgton Jenkins at left tackle, Lucas Patrick at center and Billy Turner at right tackle if Bakhtiari misses the first part of the season. I don't see why that would be so bad.
No, I agree with you. The only question is, at his age, are those injuries just bad luck? Or are they the sign of a guy who's breaking down? I'm not a medical doctor. I have no idea. I think that would give you some pause to burn up, you know, whatever his cap number is going to be. Minimum contract, $1 million. Do you want to burn $1 million on a guy if you don't know if he can withstand the rigors of it? I don't know, but man, you're right, though. He knows the offense. He's a good player. There's a lot of upside there, and I think the Packers learned, I shouldn't say I think, I mean, they certainly learned that, the value of having O-line depth because they tapped into it at every turn back in 2020.
Yep. Next up, Kevin King. He's played well for the most part when healthy, but he has not proven capable of staying consistently healthy. And when he is, he's too prone to games like he had in the NFC Championship game. And I thought he was gone already, but, you know, if anything, it's just bad optics to bring him back after that NFC Championship game. I'm not saying that'll factor into the Packers' decision to bring him back or not. I think he, like I said, I think he was gone anyway. But, you know, this past year, Jair doesn't have those kinds of games. He did 2 years ago on a couple occasions. But, you know, you need corners who don't just implode like that. And it, you know, if it's one play, that's fine. If it's that one early touchdown to Mike Evans, that's fine. But it was constantly throughout that game. It was the touchdown at the end of the first half. It was the pass interference to seal the deal at the end. I mean, he's so mistake prone when he's healthy. Solid player for his size, physical corner, but you can't bring him back.
No, and as much as I want to say, well, at the right price, maybe you do. But again, do you want to burn a roster spot? Do you want to burn cap space on a guy that with the injury history? But again, who do you have? I mean, you have nobody at cornerback. I mean, they thought so little of Josh Jackson, the former second round pick, that he was inactive for the playoffs. So they're really stuck here where you probably don't want to bring him back for all the reasons that you mentioned, but they've got no one else. So it's an interesting one. I don't think he's gonna get any money because everyone's so short on cap space, and do you want to burn it on a guy who can't stay healthy? So maybe it's just ridiculously cheap, but to what you said, though, maybe you just got to move on and force yourself to find other options. So I agree with you, Matt. I think it's, regardless of the price, it's probably time to move on.
We'll get into it a little bit later about, you know, what they should do at the number two cornerbacks. Actually, let's get into it now. Number two cornerback spot, what do you think they should do? I'm of the opinion they should sign a veteran like Richard Sherman or Xavier Rhodes, someone who can start for a year and then, you draft a guy in the first round and have him take over whenever he's ready. Have Sherman or Rhodes, who has a long history with Jerry Gray, mentor this kid, whoever it is, you know, Greg Newsome. If it's Campbell from Georgia, if it's Stokes from Georgia, get a cornerback there at the end of the first round, or maybe even trade up to get one. If you like a guy like J.C. Horn or Asante Samuel Jr., you know, I'm no mock draft expert, but those just seem like the kind of guys who are floating around that area. I would go sign the veteran, have him be the bridge to a guy you draft in the first round. Because I like you said, I don't trust Kadar Holman, Shannon Sullivan, or Josh Jackson with my life on the outside there.
No, I don't either. Man, Josh Jackson can't stop grabbing. And that's just something you can't coach it out of a guy. It's just a lack of faith in your ability. And if you are 4 years into the NFL, well, 3 years in the NFL, you've been coaching at a high level in college. If those guys can't get it out of you, it probably is who you are. And you're right. It sounds all well and good to draft Greg Newsome Jr. from Northwestern in the first round or the guys that you mentioned. But, man, there's no guarantee. What if the guy you draft sucks? And then what are you going to do? So, I would find a veteran. Again, I don't know who's going to be out there that you can fit under a tight salary cap. I have no idea. But yeah, that'd be the ultimate way to do it. It would be to find a veteran bridge guy and then probably draft two or, you know, a guy in the first round and a guy in the third or fourth round at corner and kind of maximize your opportunities to get rookies. Xavier Rhodes, I think, is a great call. Matt is a guy who's been around the block, probably is going to get a ton of money, but has the experience of Jerry Gray. I think that
played well last season with the Colts. Yep.
Yeah, I think that name makes a lot of sense. I think those dots connect pretty well.
And you can't get roasted by Devontae Adams in games if you're on his team.
You said that yesterday about the guy from Tennessee, too. Yeah. That's a good line.
Yeah, I mean.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Let's go through these last couple quickly so we can get on to, you know, outside guys the Packers might target. So I'll say a name, quick yes or no, and one sentence why. Tyler Irvin.
No, he's never been a contributor. They tried to, it failed.
I agree. I say no. He's been okay as a returner, but you just need to have a total facelift on the return units, and he hasn't done anything consistently as the gadget piece in the backfield that they have tried to make him. So I say no. Snacks Harrison.
Yes. They need defensive linemen. I don't know he's going to cost a lot of money. Yes.
I say yes. He played a decent amount in the NFC Championship game, so yes. They at least liked what they saw from him. I forget the exact snap count, but it was pretty substantial for a guy who was in his third game with the team. I know he wants to be back in Green Bay, so why not? Bring him back. You need as much help there as you can get. Montrevious Adams.
No. Never healthy. been a tease? No.
I say no, just like you said, you know, not a waste of a pick, but never could get on the field and do anything substantial there. So, yeah, that's an easy no. Billy Winn.
No, he was a great story, and he played pretty well. You know, at one point when he played, this is more than a sentence now, he actually had, I think, as many PBUs on the season as Kevin King, which is a fantastic
stat. That's an incredible
stat. He has been hurt, so no.
I agree. I say no just because his injury history, you know, like you said, he was a nice story, and he played pretty decently with a couple of batted passes when he was here, but, you know, he's 31 now. Get some young life in there with guys who don't have that injury history. All right, two more. Tavon Austin.
No. I don't even need to explain that. What did he do? Nothing.
I say no. Yeah, he had that one fumble, never did anything on offense, never brought life to the return unit, so I say no. And lastly, James Burgess, no, because he played four games before he went on IR with a hamstring injury. I wouldn't blame Packer fans for forgetting he was on the team. Yes, you need inside linebacker depth, but find it elsewhere. Sorry, James.
Yeah, exactly.
It's nothing personal.
Jared Veld here, Matt. Matt,
that's a good. I keep forgetting he's an unrestricted free agent.
I say yes. I know. I don't know if he wants to play.
I say if he wants to play, yes. You need depth at tackle. I say yes.
Yeah, absolutely yes. If he does not get COVID, the Packers go to the Super Bowl.
I agree. But do the Packers play him over Rick Wagner in that game?
You sure would have hoped so. He was terrible. And I am not blaming Rick Wagner. I mean, he was hurt all year. He was a beaten up man. I do not blame Rick Wagner for the way he played. Did the best he could. Velder's here.
Will Redmond's an unrestricted free agent too, right?
I think restricted, but yeah.
Restricted? I thought I saw it. I should know this, but on my
over the
cap.
Yes, you are right. He is unrestricted. You are correct. I am wrong.
Okay. Over the cap didn't have him, so that fooled me. I think I saw your tweet that he was. No, you can't bring him back. It's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, they also go to the Super Bowl if he doesn't drop. Did he even drop an interception against Tampa?
Yeah.
See, have to touch the ball. I don't know that he touched the ball.
It went right through his hands. That's
literally through his hands.
That's an underrated mishap in that game because Kevin King kind of bailed Redmond out there in terms of taking the blame. If he intercepts that, then the Packers just kneel out the half. Or at least I think they would. Maybe Aaron Rodgers throws another silly interception, but what do I know? Sorry, I'm just taking unnecessary shots today. Let's move on to guys they might target elsewhere. Listen, we've heard Brian Gutekunst say they'll be able to afford a high-end free agent. The cap was set today at $182.5 million. The Packers are 26th in the NFL at about $9.7 million over the cap. And before we get into who they might be able to target with more cap space, let's get into these couple ways they can create that cap space. We'll alternate here. I'll go first. Extend Za'Darius Smith. I believe he's hinted that may be down the line with his tweet this morning. You know, this is just my guess. This is not any information I'm being told. But when he tweets, "I want to be a Packer for life," I don't think he's just tweeting that out of the blue. I think maybe his agent put it in his ear. This is potential in the next couple of days. So I think you could see them extend Za'Darius Smith. 2 years left on a 4-year, $64 million deal he signed in 2019. It's been every bit of what they asked for. He's been really good. Didn't have the pressure numbers this year or this past season as he did in 2019, but he's still a guy that's worthy of an extension.
Yeah, no brainer. I mean, his cap number is what, $22 million? Something along those lines.
Yeah.
Base salary and roster bonuses, like I believe that alone is worth 15 and a half. Extend him, move the numbers around. You could probably create, you know, just talking to some guys around the league, probably create $10 million right there. To me, it's a no brainer. It's easy money in a guy who's played well, you know, to say that, you know, people criticized Za'Darius last year. Can you imagine criticizing 12 sacks and 4 forced fumbles? That's the bar he set the year before.
It's funny because in 2019 it was, he didn't make an all pro team or he wasn't an initial selection for the Pro Bowl because he didn't have those forced fumbles. Well, like you just said, he had 4 and now the pressures were down. And I think there's a little bit of bias there, myself included, because he has been a no-show in both NFC Championship games, which is not great in itself, but I think he's worthy of an extension for the entire body of work. What's another one?
Davante Adams is the easiest one in the entire world. Maybe not to actually put the numbers together on paper like Russ Ball has to do, but I mean, he's going to be a free agent after the 2021 season. His cap number is $16.8 million if you're rounding. It is the ultimate win-win. You reduce that cap number to somewhere close to half, and probably even more importantly than that, you have Davante Adams for 2023, 2024, maybe 25. You don't want that guy getting anywhere close to free agency. This would seem to be the easiest thing in the world.
Yep. Another way is restructuring the contract of Aaron Rodgers. You know, give him some long-term security, if financial long-term security instead of just verbal long-term security. Guarantee some money. What is it? They can convert some of his base salary into signing bonus and add some, you know more about the cap than I do, but add some more guaranteed money later on his contract so that reduces his cap hit this year, while also, you know, giving him that long-term security. So like you just said, it's a win-win. They keep Aaron Rodgers, they give him that long-term security he wants, I'm assuming he wants. I don't see why he wouldn't, while also lessening the cap hit of the most expensive player on their team.
Yeah, I asked Brad Spielberger from Pro Football Focus and Over the Cap to kind of give me a contract. So he worked it up a couple weeks ago. Obviously, you could do the max restructure, which would create like $13 million. But if you did an extension, like through 2025, I mean, you could knock about $8 or $9 million off his cap. And there's your win-win. I mean, Rodgers wants the security. He wants to know that he is the guy here. And I realize that Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur told us he's the guy here, but you know, the contract is where that is. So the extension gives him what he's looking for. It gives him the cap help that they need. I would be absolutely shocked if that's not being worked out right now.
Yep. I think there's one more or two more. Preston Smith. I know Albert Breer mentioned the Packers have been sniffing around on trades for him. A straight up release would save them $8 million. But against the cap this year. But Brian Gutekunst said they plan for Preston Smith to be on the team. I was a little surprised that he came out and said it like that, given Smith's severe drop off in production in 2020. And no, he did not play more coverage snaps. So that was not So that was not the reason for his drastically reduced pressure numbers. What do you think they should do with Preston Smith, and what do you think will happen with him?
Yeah, I'm in the very, very, very world of unpopular opinion here in that I would keep Preston Smith and wouldn't think twice about doing it. I would see about restructuring to some extent, maybe taking some of that base salary, moving into 2022, and basically say to Preston, you are going to earn your 2022 payday by playing really good in 2021. That's what I would do. Look, I realize they save $8 million by cutting him, and God knows they could use the money. There's also $8 million of dead cap by getting rid of him right now. With the cap sharply reduced, I would much rather have Za'Darius Smith sacking the quarterback for my team rather than counting $8 million against my cap but sacking the quarterback for somebody else's team. I know he didn't play well last year. He had 12 sacks the year before that. I think he's a good football player who did not have a very good year for whatever reason. You're right. It was not coverage numbers. That is a bunch of bunk. But yes, I would keep him. I would try to save some money, but I am not going to have an $8 million dead cap hit only to see Preston Smith sign elsewhere and get 8 sacks.
And I think an underrated part of this is there is one player on the Green Bay Packers who has experience playing for new defensive coordinator Joe Barry.
Yes.
Preston Smith. Played for him in 2015 right. And 2016 in Washington when Barry was the defensive coordinator there. Preston played pretty well, at least in terms of sack numbers for a guy in his first 2 years in the league. So I think he stays. I think they should cut him, but I think he stays. I'm of a differing opinion there, but I wouldn't feel too strongly either way. Last one, Dean Lowry. It would save $3.3 million against the cap. I think that extension they signed him to before the 2019 season looks just really bad. He hasn't done anything really. But you need bodies on the defensive line. I think they keep him, but I think they should cut him.
Yeah, I can see him. This might be one of those deals where they kind of have to play it by ear. It's going to be a revolving door of free agency, I think, where the high-priced player from Team A gets cut and he ends up on Team B for less. And Team B gets rid of their high-priced player, and he goes to Team C for less, and then that guy goes back on Team A. Maybe it's one of those deals where the Packers see, hey, look, this guy just got cut in the defensive line, and he's a better player than Dean Lowry, and he's going to cost us less money, so let's sign him and cut Dean Lowry. So I wonder if it might be one of those deals where they see who's out there. But you're right. I don't think they can cut him without replacing him, because they're bad on the DL, the D line, right? They are not very good. So you better replace Dean Lowry before you get rid of him. So yeah, that might be a kind of a free agency thing. Maybe they can sign someone and then go from there. So yeah, if I can find somebody decent enough, I would cut him. That is it's a pretty sizable cat number for a guy who just has not done much other than play most weeks, which probably shouldn't be overlooked.
I agree. How about we get into some of the guys they might target? I know a lot of this is just conjecture and fantasy, but let's list off a couple names, get your thoughts. I think position-wise, their biggest need is probably cornerback. Now, whether, like I said, I think they should address that through free agency and the draft. Like I said earlier, I would go with a guy like Richard Sherman or Xavier Rhodes and then draft a guy in the first round. And have the veteran be the mentor to the young kid until he's ready to take over. But that's just me. I think the second position of need is offensive line. You know, I think it could potentially be offensive tackle if David Bakhtiari's not ready. Bill, what do you think they should do there in free agency, if anything?
Interesting name. Interesting. Just got released was Kevin Zeitler, who the Packers liked in that draft class. Played at Wisconsin, had a hell of a career. The Giants just cut him. Do they need a guard so much? I don't know. Maybe they think the running can go play tackle or be that swing guy. I don't know. I do think Zettler's a pretty interesting name, though, who just got released. If you were to throw a Hail Mary, I shouldn't say Hail Mary, you know who I like at receiver? Is Curtis Samuel from Carolina. Slot guy, super fast, had a really good year. Ran the ball a fair amount. To me, he seems like a pretty natural fit for what they wanted to do with Tyler Irvin last year. You know, he might get paid buku dollars, but I do like Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, I don't think they need a wide receiver. I think if Brian Gutekunst wants to say, okay, we're giving Aaron Rodgers all the weapons possible, we're going all in, like we've talked about before on this show and like you've talked about on Twitter, if Goody wants to go all in, he could get a receiver. I don't think they won't be able to afford Juju Smith-Schuster. Maybe T.Y. Hilton, if they really want to spend big. You know, there are some other guys out there like a Will Fuller. We know they were interested in him at the trade deadline last year. But I honestly wouldn't be surprised, and I don't think it would be a bad thing if they rolled into training camp with a top four of Adams, MVS, Lazard, and Funchess, which looks like he wants to at least get a chance here. And a couple of years ago, he caught 8 touchdowns for the Panthers. I know he didn't play last season after he opted out. And then two seasons ago, he missed the entire season pretty much with a broken collarbone. So that'll be tough too. But he's been posting on Instagram very frequently. He looks like he's in shape and playing a lot of basketball. He's explosive. Can he catch a football? Who the hell knows? But if you can get something out of him as your number four receiver over EQ, I think that's a pretty solid four you have right there. Do you think they should do anything at receiver?
I just like those slot guys because they don't have one. And if that slot guy can return kicks, that's like major bonus points.
Right.
You know, they tried so hard with Tyler Irvin, and then they threw the Hail Mary and Tavon Austin. So it seems to me that they feel like they need that position. So, you know, the courtesy of, you know, Keelan Cole from Jacksonville, he played a lot of slot, returned a punt for a touchdown against the Packers. Of course, everybody returned punts for touchdowns against the Packers. But, you know, Keelan Cole kind of fits that mold, might not be a whole lot of money either. I just kind of transfixed on that failed Tyler Irvin role. Again, maybe that's the draft too. Maybe you go in the draft and get that, which, you know, maybe that's probably the smart way to go. You get a younger and cheaper guy that way. But I do think they have all those big guys. I just feel like they need to have someone who can play the slot and return some kicks.
Yep, I agree. Next up, defensive line. I think Dalvin Tomlinson is the guy they have to have their eye on. I think, I forget who reported it, so I apologize if this isn't proper credit, but they were in on him during the season in terms of a trade target. He's a guy who has played in all 64 games since he's been in the league, started every single one for the Giants, 3.5 sacks from the nose tackle spot each of the last 2 years, a good amount of tackles for loss, more than Dean Lowry and Tyler Lancaster. You know, this would be mean to say more than they can dream of, but more than they have had, we'll say that. I think that's a fair way to say that. You know, Kingsley Keke showed promise last year, missed the end of the season with that concussion. But you need guys who have proven to be consistently productive, and only Kenny Clark has. So if you want to spend big on a guy like Dalvin Tomlinson, I'd be all for that.
Yeah, interesting name, Shelby Harris from Denver, a really good player. I don't think he's going to get tons of money.
Buku money.
Milwaukee native, too, just to make some local ties of it. He's a good player, 3-4 experience. That would seem to make some sense to me, too. Once upon a time, the Packers drafted a guy by the name of Lawrence Guy. I did not mean to do that.
he's been pretty good for the Patriots.
He has, but he did not make the roster here. Never did anything. He's been really good for the Patriots. He's like the prototypical 3-4 defensive end. Probably not going to give him much as a pass rusher. You know what? They've got plenty of pass rushers. Give me some guys who can stop the run. Lawrence Guy. Probably can do that. He's 31, probably has some tread on the tires.
Let's talk about two more positions before we get into a couple questions. Running back. This is only if they lose Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. James White is a guy that I think could do well in this offense. He has a lot of experience in the passing game with Bill Belichick. He's a Wisconsin guy. How would you feel about that signing or any other veteran signing to pair with A.J. Dillon?
Yeah, that'd be a great signing. James White comes in, rolls out of bed and catches 60 passes. He's a fantastic role player. You know, one guy I'll be interested in will be Marlon Mack from Indy, who had a big year the year before, missed just about all of last year due to injury. He's not the Aaron Jones receiving kind of threat, but he kind of has some of that running style where if there's some opening, he's going to get through it in no time at all. But yeah, James White, though, that would be a terrific signing for a guy who's not going to make a lot of money, but fits exactly what they want to do.
Marlon Mack, a good friend, I believe, of former fellow University of South Florida teammate Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Good connection.
There's your USF fact of the day. And lastly, inside linebacker. I think they like what they have in Kamal Martin and Chris Barnes, but both those guys are injury prone. They're both 22 years old. And I'd really like, if I'm the Packers, a signing of KJ Wright. He's going to be 32, but he had a really good 2020. That's from our Shield Kapadia. You know, he's more of a Seahawks observer than I am. I'm just reading from his ranking of the free agents. KJ Wright would be, you get a veteran in there to show him the ropes and possibly even play. KJ Wright, Hassan Reddick from the Cardinals. He's kind of a pass rusher, inside linebacker hybrid who can do a lot of different things. Had 12.5 sacks last year. Granted, I believe 5 of them came in one game, but get Reddick or KJ Wright in there to make some plays from that inside linebacker spot. The Packers have searched for a playmaking inside linebacker for so long, and maybe they can get a little bit of one in either of those guys.
Yeah, I've always been a big fan of KJ Wright. I just feel like he's so underrated hanging out with Bobby Wagner for all those years. And then, the Legion of Doom back in their heyday.
Legion of Doom.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, anyway, you know what I meant. Yeah, he's always been lost in shuffle. I think he's a really good player. But yeah, I agree with you, Matt. I think they like what they got. Maybe you go, it's a really good draft class from, the amount of time I've spent on those guys. I think they will roll with Barnes and Martin and maybe add somebody and hope for the best.
That's fair. I could see that happening as well. We've kept you guys long enough, so let's get to some of your questions before we get out of here. Bill, you put out the call. You want to read them off today?
Yeah, hang on a second.
Do, 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 do.
Feel free to.
I'm just singing the Jeopardy theme song in honor of Aaron Rodgers hosting Jeopardy on April 5th.
That's good stuff. From our good friend Cecilia Bugface.
Yes.
I probably should save this for last. Dinosaur barbecue or brats and cheese curds?
Yeah, to my Syracuse people aren't going to like this. Do you know what dinosaur barbecue is?
No, I figured you must, because I have absolutely no idea.
It's a legendary barbecue spot in Syracuse, New York. I only went there once. I don't remember what it was like. I think I was extremely hungover when I had it, so it was just like a necessity meal. But I'm ashamed to say that as a second-generation Syracuse grad, and my younger brother also graduated from there, I've only had it once. I would have to go cheese curds and brats. I fell in love with cheese curds ever since I moved to Wisconsin in July 2019. So I will go the latter, and please don't take away my Syracuse card for that answer.
All right. I'm going to get crucified. I am not a cheese curd person.
That's fair.
Which makes my family happy, because when we actually get cheese curds, those three get to have all of them. I just sit there thinking, yeah, not seeing it. Not seeing it. From Emma Diesel, he's always comments on Twitter to me, and I'm going to seriously apologize if I mispronounce either of those things. How likely will the Packers move on from Bradley and Scott?
I thought it was interesting that Mo Drayton was so upfront when I asked him, about those two guys, and he said they know their backs are against the wall. At the very least, they're going to have competition in camp. I think you got to bring in another long snapper. You got to bring in another punter. They already have another punter, Ryan Winslow, on the roster. Bring in another long snapper, because both those guys were very mediocre at best last year. And special teams is an area they have to completely overhaul, besides from Mason Crosby. And those two guys could be collateral to that overhaul.
Yeah, man. I think we've talked about this on a podcast. We certainly have in person. How they did not have a long snapper in camp, beyond me. Just dumbfounding. Why the steadfast belief in Hunter Bradley is just mind-boggling to me, man. He's always been inconsistent. And to just give him a free pass, and I realize that there are free agents a phone call away, but to not have anybody in here pressing him, absolute mystery. I thought it was a great answer by Mo to be that blunt and say, hey, these guys are going to be fighting for the jobs. That was a pretty amazing comment. There's a kicker on the roster. There's a punter on the roster to challenge those guys. There's a draft class. I would be. And plus, you can save some money, too. These guys are going into year four, too. Why not? You could probably go younger and cheaper. And hell, it can't be worse, can you?
You want to know what's bad? They were both draft picks.
Yes.
Not a great look for Brian Gutekunst in his first draft, but got to admit your stakes when you make them. From Evgeny, thank you for doing the podcast during the offseason. Oh, our pleasure. Every other week, most likely. But I believe the next couple weeks, we might have if there's a big free agency move, we might have a immediate reaction pod. We'll definitely have one next week, recapping the first week of free agency, maybe even another one after the second week. So free agency draft picks up. It might be more frequent than once every 2 weeks. I might be speaking out of turn, but that's just an assumption. I could be wrong. Who's your under-the-radar free agent pickup for the Packers? Who's yours, Bill?
Oh, man. Since we hit on some of these guys earlier.
I'd say Xavier Rhodes is mine.
Yeah.
For reasons aforementioned.
You know, once upon a time, Alex Mack was a really good center. He's 35 years old now. They kind of did the Jeff Saturday swinging it about a decade ago. If you really needed to go get a center in here, Alex Mack, Nick Martin, probably neither super expensive. So there you go. Alex Mack used to be really good.
Yeah, he did. He got a massive contract from the Falcons. From Jack Lee, thoughts on what y'all believe the Packers will do to get under the cap? Yeah, like we said before, I think just touching on a couple of things we expanded upon earlier. Restructuring Rodgers could cut Preston Smith, though that's not guaranteed. Could cut Dean Lowry, though that's not guaranteed. I think the things that are most likely to happen are that Za'Darius Smith extension, the Davante Adams extension, and the Aaron Rodgers restructure.
Yeah, I don't think they have to cut anybody. All the doom and gloom talk about The salary cap, and if, and I've written plenty of it, so I'm not going to give myself a free pass on it, but I think they can take care of all this stuff through restructuring of contracts and not have to get rid of anybody.
Agreed. I believe we got two more. With roster they have right now, what would be the starting O-line without Lindsley and Bakhtiari? My definitive answer is left tackle, Elgton Jenkins, left guard, Lucas Patrick, center. No, wait. Left guard, left tackle, Elgton Jenkins, left guard, Lane Taylor, center, Lucas Patrick, right guard, John Runyon Jr., right tackle, Billy Turner.
I believe David Bakhtiari starts week one. Maybe I'm insane.
So do I.
Bakhtiari starts at left tackle. Elgton Jenkins is your left guard. Lucas Patrick is your center. John Runyon, right guard, Billy Turner, right tackle. I think John Runyon's going to be really good.
So do I. I think it'll be better than what people think. Did you get one more question that I saw on your latest call
Chris
for questions?
Martisica? Sorry about that, Chris, if I botched your last name. I'm good at botching names. Which well-known free agent would you guess would take a league minimum deal to chase a championship with the Packers? Of course, we're not crystal balls here, but it is interesting. Do you think people would do that? I guess I would spin it this way because I have no idea what's in people's hearts. Like J.J. Watt certainly wasn't in the mindset right. of taking a discount. Do you think, I will spin it this way, Matt, do players think like that at all?
That's what they say. They say they want to chase a ring, but at the end of the day, maybe I'm just jaded by the J.J. Watt deal, but they're going to go after the money because it's no guarantee that they'll get a championship in Green Bay. If another team that's somewhat close, if there's a veteran free agent that really wants to win a championship, they're going to go for the money and they're going to find a team that has a respectable chance. They're not going to say, oh, you know, the Packers have a better chance than the Bills, so I'm going to go to the Packers for less. They're going to go to the team, as long as they're relatively close, that's giving them more money. So I don't think anyone would take a veteran minimum deal to chase a championship with the Packers. I think someone would settle for a veteran minimum deal with the Packers over, let's say, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's very well put. You know what I mean? Look at Aaron Jones. I'm not saying Aaron Jones would ever take a minimum deal, nor should he, but Aaron Jones is this popular, super happy guy who loved it here. He's been a star here. He's not taking less money.
Hell no.
Hell no. He's going to go chase it out. And God bless him. I would too. Probably.
Nor should he.
But I'm saying if Aaron Jones isn't willing to take, you know, what did Rob Domofsky report? Not, you know, they offered to make him a top five running back. If that's not good enough for Aaron, for Mr.
Million.
Right.
$16 million average with not as much guarantees.
Right. So if that's not enough for the guy with the biggest smile in the world, it's just not for anybody. And I don't begrudge anybody because you are worth what somebody's willing to give you. And your cred around the league in large part is what you make as a contract too. Look, like with Bakhtiari, he said it was his dream to be the highest paid lineman. Why? Not so he'd have crap loads of money, but it meant that he's the best lineman in football. There's status in that.
I agree.
Mike, who has no last name, would like to know what is a realistic free agency period for the Packers? I guess my thoughts on that, Matt, would be the signing period starts March 17th. I believe their free agency starts March 19th.
I like the way you put that. I get what you're saying. Expand for the people who don't get it.
They have no money to be high stakes players, but that second wave of guys, I believe that's where they will strike.
Correct. I agree. I don't think they're going to go for that high end guy. I think if they do go for a high end guy, his name will be Aaron Jones, but I don't expect that to happen. I think we could see a couple bargain buys like last year. But even if they aren't big players, I think they're going to put themselves in position to be by making those aforementioned moves to get at least under the cap. So there will be Packers news, a lot of it, in the next week, even if it's not them signing Juju Smith-Schuster. I think that's a fair way to put it, but you guys know the drill here. Stick with us. Stick with Bill at SI, me at The Athletic. We love talking to you. Sorry for keeping you for so long. We just got a lot to talk about with a lot in the news, a lot of free agency coming up. And we didn't even get to what they do with their restricted free agents. Robert Tonyan probably going to throw a second round tender on them. But we'll have reactions on Twitter, on our sites, even in podcast form for you over the next couple weeks. So for me, Bill, our fantastic producer, Danielle, we can't thank you enough for listening. Follow along. We'll talk to you next time.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.